Good morning. I'm curious, don't say it out loud, but who's in charge here anyway? Don't say it, because more than one person asked me to come here. And some have asked me not to come here. So without saying it out loud, just raise your hand if you think you know who's in charge here. So most of you don't know either. All right, or you're not willing to say it. Well, we already sang about it. We could have said Pastor Climes is in charge, right? We could have said that Paul Kramer, the head elder, is in charge, or the board of elders. We could say Brad Davis, the school, is in charge. We could say any church member is in charge. We could give the politically correct answer, Jesus. Who is in charge here? We sang about it earlier today. This is my Father's world. Is he really in charge? Is he in charge of this congregation? It's education emphasis Sabbath, so let's do the kids' version of how do we respond to who's in charge. Now, because I don't sing very well, Scott, help us out. Who's in charge here anyway?
So it's not just me singing. There are words. Okay, now we got the words. So let's everybody stand up. This is active participation. You may have heard this song if you have kids or if you are a kid at heart. So let's sing, Who's the King of the Jungle? Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea? J-E-S-U-S, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. The king of the jungle. Sing it again. Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea? I'll tell you. Yes, U.S. He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea.
Well, I guess we're ready to have the prayer and go home. Is that right? Who's in charge here? Who's the king of the jungle? Is this really our Father's world? I'm not sure. I know this last week. Let me tell you what happened. Yeah. I don't know what you think about when you think about your week, but my week wasn't everything I wanted it to be. You see, there's a person who has cut my hair for the last 20-some years, and she told me she's leaving, moving to Southern California. That's too far of a commute for me. What's going on, God? I mean, my hair. I mean, sure, her husband got a job down there, and she thinks she needs to go with him, but what about me? Where is God in all of this? Or the dishwasher broke again, not just last month, but this week also. And the same guy came to fix it who had fixed it last month. Who's the king of this jungle? And then I got the phone call from the person. Yes, you did this Revelation 101 seminar. And in my opinion, I don't really think that you are highlighting the Seventh-day Adventist Church as much as it should be highlighted. I think that you're kind of off base here. Why are you persecuting me? And then yesterday was my birthday. I'm going to take a bath in vinegar and salt. That's what I'm going to do. And you see, I'm on Facebook. I'm really not, but I'm just there for business purposes. And then since I'm not on Facebook, whenever something gets posted there, it gets sent to my email. Well, since yesterday was my birthday, and I have more than 1,000 friends, I did a lot of deleting yesterday. And for those of you who are here, I kept yours. Except for some of you I don't know who are still my friends. How was your week this past week? That was my week. As you look back on your week, would you say, this is my Father's world? Would you say Jesus was the king of your jungle this past week? I took a look at Reuters' service, and this is what the week looked like for them this past week. Do you recognize this? Ready to sing it again? This is my Father's world. Who's the king of this jungle? Who's in charge of this planet anyway? What's going on here? Or maybe we shouldn't think so globally. Who's in charge of the Orangeville Church? How long are you going to go without a senior pastor? Oh, is the conference in charge? Are you in charge? Is God in charge? What about the Orangeville school? There have been some really good years, haven't there? How long has it been? Is God still in control? Or do we need to do some better marketing? Do we need to make some more phone calls, get a new brochure? Who's in charge in your family? I can tell you who's in charge of my family. I am. I asked my wife. She told me I am. Katie, am I in charge? You don't know either. Okay. That's my daughter. Who's in charge of you? You are? Then why does your chain get yanked so easily if you're really in charge of you? I want to take a look at some things in Scripture, jump around a little bit to find out who's in charge anyway. What's going on? Here's our word for the day. Arche. Arche. Greek word. Oh boy, here we go. but you know an English use of this. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the term archaeology. Archaeology. Well, that's the same root word, archaeology. So archae actually means the beginning, the start. And as often happens with words, over time, words change a little bit, and what started as the beginning, or the origin, quickly became whatever is in charge. Whoever's in charge is the archae, the big cheese, the ruler. And you'll recognize words like this. Monarchy, right? That's the rule of one person, monarchy. So you have a king or a queen, monarchy. We don't do that in our country, but there still are countries who do that, at least as figureheads. Don't tell my wife, who's Dutch, that it's a figurehead. Okay, monarchy. We also have the word anarchy. A meaning no or non, so there is no rule. It is anarchy, which would be the classroom once in a while. Oligarchy. I don't know, you have to look it up. Oligos, Greek word meaning a few, so it's the rule by a few people. You just have a few select people that are in charge, maybe the aristocracy, maybe a few moneyed people, an oligarchy. Or how about this one? A patriarchy, a male-dominated, a male-ruled system, and of course we also have a matriarchy, a female-ruled system, whether it's a family, a society, or what have you. Raise your hand now if you understand this use of archae. Yeah? It's the one in charge. Who's in charge here? So we're going to take a look in Scripture and find out who's in charge, okay? I'm going to jump around in my Bible. You can look on the screen if you want, or you can look around in your Bibles or do your iPad, whatever it is you're using. I'm going to use a thing called the Bible on printed paper. Jesus didn't use this. He had scrolls, but I have a modern version, and it's a book. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. This book, the book of Revelation, is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the archae of the kings of the earth. The Greek word archae translated the ruler. So who's the archae? Jesus. Go on over to chapter 3. The last of the seven churches, the one we're probably most familiar with, the one of Laodicea. And here's how the message to Laodicea begins. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the archae of God's creation. So who's the ruler? Oh, you can say it with confidence. Who's the ruler? Do we need to sing Who's the King of the Jungle again? J-E-S-U-S? Yes. He's the king of me? Or J-E-S-U-S, yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle, and the sea. Let's go to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I know some people doubt it. Most people here would not. We would say that Jesus is the one who created this earth. Genesis gives the creation story. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, this is after God has created Adam and Eve in his image. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Aha, there you have it. God created it, but he handed dominion over to whom? Adam and Eve. So that puts us in charge of this planet, right? You might think so, because that was the original plan. But all you have to do is go to chapter 3 of Genesis and you find out something else. Adam and Eve got duped, right? And so you end up having somebody else who's in charge of this planet. You want to know who it is? You're not going to like this. Book of Job, chapter 1. If you go about halfway through your Bible, that's Psalms. This is just before Psalms. Job, chapter 1. This is one we aren't quite sure what to do with. If only Job could have read this story, it would have helped him out. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. One day, the angels, or your translations may say, the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. Where is this taking place? Okay. So the Lord is there in heaven, and the angels, or the sons of God, have come to present themselves. They're having a council meeting. And Satan also came with them. What is Satan doing in heaven? The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Well, isn't that good news? Who's in charge of this earth? In Job chapter 1, it's Satan. The word Satan actually means accuser. Who's in charge of our earth? The accuser. Good luck. You're going to need it. You've read Job 1 before, but here's a passage you probably haven't read. Zechariah. Where in the world is Zechariah? It's just before the end of the Bible, the Old Testament. So if you go all the way to the end of the Old Testament, the last book is Malachi, just four chapters. Right before that is Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. This is taking place after God's people have come back from captivity, and it's taken them a long time to build a temple in Jerusalem. The governor is there, and also the priest is there. And the priest's name is Joshua. The governor's name is Zerubbabel. Joshua means Jesus saves. Nice name for your priest, right? So here's the vision. Zechariah 3, verse 1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Oh, good. Our high priest is standing before the Lord. And Satan is standing at his right side to accuse him. You know the term right-hand man? That's the person you count on? So who does the high priest have as his right-hand man? Accuser! Welcome to heaven. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man," that is Joshua, "a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes. Would that be you if you were taken to heaven? As he stood before the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with the angel, while the angel of the Lord stood by. What a transformation. But I'm still wondering, what's going on in heaven? Heaven sounds like hell rather than heaven. Isn't that what it would be if Satan is there? Accusing, 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 accusing. And God says, "Yeah, they're filthy. Even their best, filthy. Stop, Satan. I'm going to clothe them with pure raiment. I'm going to make them clean. They will never make it on their own." And we come to the end of the Old Testament. So what happens when Jesus shows up? Just a few pages over. Come to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is about to begin his ministry. He goes out into the wilderness. Remember the temptations that Satan, accuser, brought to him? Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We're going to go to the third one. The first one was simply turn bread into, or stones into bread. Second one, cast yourself off the temple because the expected Messiah is going to do that. And now the third one. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And we go, ah, worship is pretty important, isn't it? Indeed it is. But how in the world is Satan able to offer Jesus all the kingdoms of this world? Who's in charge here anyway? Jesus didn't bite for it. I don't think you can trust Satan anyway. But Jesus chose another way. How would Jesus show that there's a new sheriff in town? How would he demonstrate that Satan is no longer the RK, the ruler of creation? How could Jesus show that he is the ruler of creation? Well, there's several ways he could do it. One way is, we just thought it was a neat trick, right? Cast your net on the other side. How do you fill it up with fish? A magic trick? Or if you're the RK, you tell the fish, hop in the net. Who's the ruler of creation? What if one of your bumbling followers says, yeah, sure, we pay taxes, don't we? And Jesus has to say, look, Peter, go on down and just cast a line, not a whole net, just a line. I'll give you one fish. It'll have the money for you and for me, okay? How did that fish get the coin and grab onto the right hook? Can you tell me? Well, the RK told him to do it. What happens when the natural forces of earth come to envelop Jesus on the Sea of Galilee? He's asleep, and the disciples wake him up. We're going to die! We're going to die! We're going to die! We're on our own here. And Jesus says, peace, be still. And the disciples say, who is this guy? The wind and the waves obey him. I'll give you an answer. He's the RK. That's who he is. He's the one in control here. There's a new king of this jungle called Earth. We're suburbanites. Any farm people here? Yeah, me either. But we've seen things on YouTube about what happens when you get on an unbroken colt. It's not pretty, is it? So how is it that Jesus gets on an unbroken colt and goes in triumph into the capital city of Jerusalem? I'm not going to do that. Are you going to try it? If you're the RK, it's no problem. You just tell the colt, take me easy. Understand? I don't speak donkey. Balaam did. But this donkey understood what Jesus said to him, and he took him in triumphantly. If Jesus would have gone on a horse, he would have entered for a military conquest, but he came on a donkey, a baby donkey, to show he was coming in peace. And that's how he took over this earth. Huh. How about this one? We can go to the end of his ministry, John chapter 12. This is right after the triumphal entry. And now all the people are there hanging out saying, what's going on? The Greeks have come and said, where is this Jesus person? So now we have Gentiles in addition to Jews that are there. And Jesus is explaining to them, by the way, I'm going to die. Not exactly the right PR release at the time. We pick up the story now in verse 7. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. And others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And then the verse we're so familiar with, but I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to myself. So I'm asking you, who's in charge on planet Earth? Well, we'll do one more. We start in Revelation, we'll go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. We'll do 5 or 6 verses here. Revelation chapter 12, we have symbolism going on. Revelation 12, starting with verse 7. This is right after we have read that there's going to be a dragon that tries to kill a man-child. In other words, the devil's going to try to kill Jesus. And right after that, we have this. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Please memorize this next line. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place. Where? So after Jesus died, Satan and his angels lost their place in heaven? I thought that happened before the creation of the world. Well, you would get that from John Milton's Paradise Lost, but you wouldn't get it from the Bible. After Jesus returned to heaven, Satan and his angels were cast out because they weren't strong enough. Heaven is no longer hell. Heaven is heaven again. The great dragon was hurled down. Who is the dragon? That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by nuclear weapons. They overcame him by Democrats and Republicans working together. They overcame him by loud voices and economic pressure. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony about the Lamb. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. If you were in heaven, wouldn't you be rejoicing by this time? Finally! Finally! But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Did you know the devil's an Adventist? I'm not calling you the devil. I'm saying the devil is an Adventist. The devil believes Jesus is coming back. And the devil believes he's coming back sooner than we believe he's coming back. And so he's giving it all he's got because his time is limited. So if you were the devil, what would you do if your playground was shrunk from the universe down to one planet? You would wreak as much havoc as you can in your reduced playground. That's what you would do. Do I need to show you the slides again to show you what the devil's been doing on our planet? Are you aware of it? Did you know this is going on? But he's losing, people. He's losing. Is he present? Yes. Just look around. Is he the RK of this planet? And the answer is not anymore. He was, but he's not anymore. Then why doesn't he just play nice and go away? Because he's the devil. That's why. And he's going to take down as many with him as he can. So now, what are you going to do about it? Who's in charge? Of our planet? This church? This school? Your family? You? Who's in charge? Because right now, there are two entities that claim to be in charge. And so you need to decide which one of these two it is, because they both claim to be in charge. Two of them. So what are you going to do? Raise your hand if you're aware that there are two of them. About half of you are aware of this. Okay, the other half, please just read the screen. There are two great powers that claim to be in charge of our Earth right now. If you're not aware of it, just look around a little bit. Where do you see it? And quite frankly, feel free to ask other people who are in this building. Where do you see it? Where do you see it? Because there is evidence of a devil's activity on this planet. There is also evidence of the activity of God on this planet. It's not one or the other right now. It's both right now. So, make it personal. Which one of those two powers is going to be in charge of you? I'm going to ask you to make a decision here this morning. Not only on which power will be in charge of you, but what will you do when you make that choice? Because it's not just a matter of, okay, chosen, done, okay, let's go home and have lunch. No, when you choose this, it carries some ramifications with it. Kind of like saying, I do to a spouse, it's not over, it's just beginning. What are you going to do for the kingdom that you choose? Because if you choose the devil, he will use you and abuse you for his kingdom. If you choose Jesus, he is going to use you for his kingdom too. So be ready for the ramifications of your choice. How do we know what Jesus will do? Well, take a look at what he did, and you can figure out some things. Here's my invitation to you. I invite you to claim space, turf, an area. Teacher, if you're a teacher in this school, claim your classroom. School board, claim this school and the families that are involved in it as turf for God. If you are part of any family, whether it's a family of 1, 2, 3, 4, 20, claim that family for Jesus. So what does that mean? That means you show up in the name of Jesus. So I'm not here today as Steve Case. I am here today as a soldier for Jesus. That's my identity. Okay? And so when I show up someplace, I don't have to worry about my reputation, what you think of me, what someone else thinks of me, or anything else. All that matters is what happens for the kingdom of God. Did you hear what people said about your family?
What did they say?
Wait, I thought your family was turf for the kingdom of God. Then that's what matters. And what people say or think about that representation of the kingdom. When you go someplace, you go there representing. Overcoming disease. Please don't limit yourself to simply the medical field. There's all kinds of disease. Physical disease, but many other kinds of disease here too. So the kingdom of God says, no, we're reversing that. We come to bring healing. Did Jesus do that? Was it just physical healing? Spiritual healing, emotional healing, social healing. So you overcome disease, not just disease. Are you ready for this? Oh dear, shouldn't have put those last two up there. We have no power over death. No, of course you don't. Only RK does. Whose side are you on? I know that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. I know that. But there are times before that where death is overcome as well. And demons, yes, the devil is here, so there are demons here too. So you're going to end up encountering those when you claim that you're on God's side. Just thought I'd give you a heads up. You can also claim turf for God's kingdom by blessing and redeeming. That has to do with people. That has to do with things. That has to do with time. That has to do with gatherings. What would have happened if the lady who cuts my hair, if I would have said, you know what? You're going to Southern California. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, I want to pronounce a blessing on you as you go to Southern California. Because the same battle that rages here in Sacramento rages in Southern California too. That would have been quite different than, what about my hair? What am I going to do? Claim turf for Christ's kingdom by revising religion. Be careful with this one. Be careful not to do it. There's a tendency for us humans to take whatever it is about God and change it from God's image to our image. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you're part of a movement that said, you know what? Religion has gotten corrupted, and so there's a need to make some corrections. It needs to be revised. Are you going to be part of his kingdom? Then it's going to include revising religion. And finally, you deputize others to spread his kingdom too. Wow. So today, I'm asking you to make a choice. Will you be part of the new arche on this planet? Will you be part of Christ's kingdom that begins already, not just when he returns? Because if you say yes, then these are the kinds of things that you're going to do by being part of his kingdom. So as you look at those five, which one are you ready to respond to if you say yes to Jesus? Because I'm going to invite you to stand up and say, yes, Jesus, count me in for this one. I'll do another one. How about this one? Will you say, yes, Jesus, count me in for this one? You ready for this? Oh, dear. Before you do, I have to give you a warning. If you say yes to Jesus, Satan is not going to applaud and say, oh, good for you. I'm so happy. He didn't do that for Jesus. So if you're claiming to be on Jesus' side, that makes you an enemy of the false RK. And here's what you can expect back from him. Just want to give you a heads up before you make a choice, okay? Here's the pushback. Yeah, the natural world is going to come against you. It may be called an act of God, but it's not. You'll also see death and destruction. But Jesus said, don't worry about those who can kill your body. It's just your body. Mr. Davis, try that on one of your permission slips. It's okay if the children are killed, just as long as their soul is okay. Parents really go for that. You can expect some direct attacks from Satan. He won't just deputize others to do it. He'll come after you himself. Yeah. In that setting in John 12, the religious leaders said, the whole world's going to follow this Jesus. And then we're going to lose our game. We're going to lose our building. We can't let that happen. So we're going to have to eliminate God. I'm just warning you. If a person is a religious leader, that does not automatically make them a tool of Satan. Just thought I'd put that in there too. I'm just saying you can expect some religious leaders are going to come against you. And finally, there will be political and military powers brought against you. Did it happen to Jesus? Did it happen to his followers? Has it happened to you? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm just trying to be honest with you and say, if you take a step and say yes to Jesus, here's what could come against you. You may want to have a family huddle about that. Now, in case you don't have photographic memory, I sure don't, I went ahead and took these things and just put them on pieces of paper. green to say go, yellow as a caution, and red for you to say stop the devil. And the back of them, they have an adhesive thing on them, so if you want to stick them in your Bible, you can do that. I've done that as a reminder because I tend to forget, and then I complain because the dishwasher broke, and I think that's the end of the world. So I just went ahead and I chose the green one to say go. So I just put mine at the start of my New Testament. And you can feel free to help yourselves to those afterwards if you would like. But now it's time for you to decide. I've tried giving you background on it. Ready to make your decision? You can choose the false RK, Satan, and I don't have any counsel for you on that. I'm sorry. You can choose Jesus, the originator, the one who came and used different methods than the devil and overcame and invites us to join his kingdom now and to start implementing what he wants. We'll take these one at a time. I invite you to stand up if you're willing to implement God's kingdom in this way. First one, presence. If you're willing to implement the kingdom of God right now by taking the presence of Jesus wherever you go, I invite you to stand right now. You may be seated. For some of you, you'll choose the second one. If you want to respond to the kingdom of God in this way, by overcoming disease, death, and demons, I invite you to stand right now. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you called to actively bless and redeem people, things, situations, gatherings? If that's what you're called to do, I invite you to stand right now. Thank you. You may be seated. And now the dangerous one. Are you called to revise religion when it goes away against the way of Christ? I invite you to stand now. Amen. You may be seated. And finally, will you actively deputize others to spread his kingdom? If you will do that, I invite you to stand right now. And you may be seated. Let us pray. Jesus, it's your world. But we see evidence that it's not. And we take the words of Jesus, an enemy has done this. And so not only do we look forward to your return to earth, but right now, we accept your invitation to be part of your kingdom and to actively spread it now. We join the Lord's Prayer in saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it now is in heaven." In the name of RK, amen.